that I was here with my wife Joy and our three daughters. I believe Brother Trask thing going, and Brother Trask was here for that missions conference, and your church committed to support us, to be part of our team as partners in sending us to Ecuador. And you have been so faithful. And just that song echoes my prayer. I want to be more faithful. I know you want to be more faithful, and you certainly have been faithful. And so one of the things, the reasons I've been excited about being here is to tell you thank you, to tell you how much Joy and I and our family and the ministries we've been able to be a part of in Ecuador are grateful to you. We're thankful for what God is doing here and what He's done through you in our lives. Thank you. Also, I've been excited because I love the theme of your missions conference, God opening the door. And that key verse, Acts 14:27, is to me one of the great missions verses in the Bible. And really what we're doing tonight is what that verse is talking about. And I just imagine Paul and Barnabas coming back to the church of Antioch and them pulling down the screen and showing the slides and passing out prayer cards. And Joy and I have just gone through a very long transition in seeking exactly what God has been doing in our lives, as over a year ago, a series of family events brought us back to the States, and it seemed like God was closing the door for our involvement in global missions. And we prayed earnestly for a number of months about what God was doing. And then suddenly in July, God opened a new door. So I'm excited in talking about open doors. I don't even have new prayer cards for our new ministry direction, but I did get some business cards printed out really fast, and Matthew has two stacks of those cards. If you'd be kind enough to see Matthew during the next few days and get one of these little cards. And as I always say, I've said all over the country, I probably have said it here four times, put it in your Bible or on your refrigerator, whichever you open more often. And pray for the Anzalone family. My wife Joy, my son Teddy, daughter Carla, and Matthew. I'll be telling you more about our family and our ministry at another time. I want you to open your Bible with me tonight to Acts chapter 14, verse 27. And we're going to read this key verse and talk tonight about God opening the door that God opened. In Acts 14:27, it says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." And so tonight, like Paul and Barnabas, we have gathered the church together. That church in Antioch, such a special church in a special place, special city, an amazing history to the church in Antioch, and the way it started, the way it grew, its attitude about crossing cultural boundaries, its interest in opening new horizons, its wonderful opportunity and amazing teaching and preaching of the Word, its openness to the direction of the Holy Spirit, its praying and fasting and seeking God's direction, its sending out rather than simply gathering for themselves, their willingness to send out and become a multiplying church. And in Acts chapter 13 and 14, we see as Paul and Barnabas went out on that first missionary journey and the places they went and the way they preached the gospel, and they taught disciples, and they prepared leaders, and they encouraged the church against difficult times, and how they left behind a series of churches planted. Looking at the Trask video, you see the faithfulness over the years of church planting and your church being part of the multiplication of churches around the world, even in Fairfield, Connecticut. That's amazing. And today, 2019, we're talking about the same things. We're talking about churches involved in the global mission of bringing all nations to Christ. I love the church aspect of Acts 14:27. But even greater than the church aspect is the God aspect. Because this verse tells us clearly that it's what God had done through them. We're celebrating God's work. Whether we're talking about Papua New Guinea or Ecuador or Connecticut or Brazil, we're talking about God's work. What is God doing in the world? And one thing God is doing in the world is opening doors. Opening doors. I love finding an open door. I don't really like finding closed doors, locked doors. That just makes me more curious and more desire to get on the other side. But it's amazing when you get somewhere and you find that the door is open. You're welcome. Come on in. You go to a bagel place and open the door and that little bell rings. That's a great thing, the open door. And God is all about opening doors. Well, I love this verse. I love the theme. I'm excited. I've got to kind of rein myself in because I've just got so much to say. And so I ask you to pray for me tonight as we talk about God opening doors and what God did. Now, when we talk about open doors, I think we need to go back to the basics. That door, John chapter 10, where Jesus is talking about the sheep and the sheepfold and the shepherd. And he says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The main door we need to talk about tonight that God has opened is that door of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, Jesus is not only the shepherd, he's also the door where the shepherd allows the sheep to come in, where he guards the sheep, where he counts the sheep, where he calls the sheep by name. Jesus is the door. And tonight, if you haven't met personally Jesus Christ, and gone through that open door, I pray that tonight you'll see that Jesus Christ is the door God has placed into your life to come to know God the Father. Jesus Christ is the door. There's no other way to enter in. He's the only way. He's the truth and he's the life. So the story of Acts chapter 14, talking about the door, that's the door of Jesus Christ. I want to give a little glimpse into my personal testimony by talking about another door. In Genesis, it talks about Noah and the ark, and it talks that when all of the animals had been called in and entered the ark and Noah's family came in, it said, and God shut them in. God closed a door. And I wanted to mention that tonight because the night I entered the door of Jesus Christ as an 8-year-old boy, that was the sermon text about God closing a door. And it was at Shea Stadium in New York City, and I was 8 years old, and Billy Graham was preaching. And he talked about the ark and those who entered the ark, and he said, and God shut the door. And as a young boy, conviction came to my heart, and I understood I was a sinner, and if I didn't enter in to the ark, Jesus Christ, I would not go to heaven. My parents might go to heaven. My grandparents might go to heaven. My sisters, they may go to heaven. But if I was outside, I wouldn't be saved. And there was a time when God would shut the door. So part of my testimony is about a door that could close. And I want to ask you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, will you take tonight as an opportunity, an open door, to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? And since that night when I was saved, God has had his hand, his direction in my story. I did not plan on being a missionary. I struggled against the idea of being a missionary. But God was faithful, and when once I said, yes, Lord, I'll go, he just began to open doors to allow all of the things to come to pass that have over the years. So in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, it says, it talks about all that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Tonight, I want to remind you of some things about that door that God opened, God opening the door. One aspect of that is that God opened a door for preaching to all nations. God opened the door for preaching to all nations. In Luke chapter 24, at the day of the resurrection, as Jesus appeared to the disciples, he opened the scriptures to them and he talked to them about how Moses and all of the prophets of the Old Testament had set the scene, had brought about all the things that occurred in his life. His death, burial, and resurrection were scripturally necessary. And he says, and all of that is because this gospel must be preached to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness of sins needed to be preached to all nations. God opened the door of preaching of his word, of the prophet's testimony. That was not just for the disciples. That was not just for the Jewish nation. That was for all people. And when it says all nations, of course, it's not talking about geographical nations or political nations. It's talking about cultural nations, language nations, gatherings of people that have something in common. So when we talk about Papua New Guinea, we're not talking just about the nation of Papua New Guinea. We're talking about a particular people group, like those that the Longs are ministering to. And so God is opening a door for the preaching of the gospel of Christ to all nations. Sometimes as we sit Sunday to Sunday and we hear the scriptures, we hear the gospel, that wonderful story, we forget that this is a story that applies to all people over all the world for all time. It's for all nations. And God opened the door for the preaching of the gospel to all nations. God also opened a door for the salvation of all nations, because of the preaching of that gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul talks about the power of God to save. That's in that gospel. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So that gospel that can be proclaimed to all nations because God opened a tremendous door can also be believed among all nations for salvation. Over the years in Ecuador, we've seen some of the most unexpected people come to faith in Christ because of the preaching of the gospel. And people that we might think, oh, they'll never accept Christ as their Savior. We've seen through the power of the preaching of the gospel, them come to saving faith in Christ, come to repentance. Sometimes after a long period of prayer, sometimes after many occasions when the gospel is preached. And then there are others that the very first time they hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit touches their heart and they repent, they believe. The Holy Spirit comes and regenerates them. They're born again and their lives change forever. And again, in all of the nations of the world where the gospel is preached, God has opened the door of faith so that people can be saved. And people get just as saved in Brazil as they do in Massachusetts, Vermont, or New York, or Connecticut, wherever you all are from. It's an amazing thing. Sometimes we think that God is limited by geopolitical boundaries, but he's not. The power of God to save is the same. Just last month, I went to Cuba for the first time. Had the opportunity to go and get to know a missionary movement that's going on in Cuba. And sometimes we think, Cuba, communist country, Christianity is repressed. We're going to find a meek church. We're going to find a timid church. We're going to find an underground, quiet church. But you know what I saw? I saw a vividly, fervently burning alive church in Cuba, because the power of gospel saves people and it can't be repressed. It cannot be repressed by political power. So it's the power of God that has been opened up around the world to save souls. We also see that God opened a great big door for fellowship among all nations. You know, when we look at the scriptures in the Old Testament, we see hints about God's plan to bring all nations to His glory, to bring all nations into His people. But it's sort of an underlying theme, an underlying hint that because of judgment or because of His work in Israel, people will come to know that God is the Lord. But when God blasts open this door, and we see in the book of Acts, it becomes evident that His intention is to bring people of all nations into His family for fellowship. Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3 especially speak of this, about how Jesus Christ, when He was crucified, when He rose again, effectively broke down a wall. So it's not just there was a wall and Jesus put a door in it. He just blew up the whole wall so that people of all nations could come into fellowship with God, and so that we could be in fellowship with one another. It's mind-blowing. Think about how God does that. And how people who really come to faith in Christ and really get a glimpse of what God is doing in the nations for them, that there's no longer any, as Paul says to the Ephesians, there's no longer like any bond, slave or free person. There's no longer any Jew or Greek. It's no longer about those kinds of distinctions. All of us have been brought into one people, one family in fellowship with God. Sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around that. But I'm sure my fellow missionaries can tell how they've experienced that over the years and have been brought into close relationship with fellow believers of other countries, of other cultures, of other language groups, where they felt just as close to them as to their own family, and to their own church, their original home church. Those churches on the field become our family. And that's the kind of fellowship we ought to have. That's the kind of fellowship we ought to have here in our local church community. But it's also the concept that we have around the world of one fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ. So I love this door, the door of preaching to all nations, the door of salvation to all nations, that great door of fellowship among all nations. And then the scriptures talk about an open door of ministry, an open door of ministry by all nations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul is writing from Ephesus, and he says, a great door and effectual has been opened for me. It has been opened, but there are many adversaries. And certainly when a door for ministry opens, our enemy is going to attack. Our enemy is going to rally his forces. But that door that God opens, wow. Sometimes our vision of what God intends to do is so limited that we just need a better glimpse, a better vision of what God intends to do. And one of the things we see when Paul is writing this in 1 Corinthians 16, he's at the beginning of the third missionary journey. And when we read 1 Corinthians 16, he starts listing people who are working with him or who he has sent to other places. And he mentions many of them by name. And it's interesting to see that none of those names are Jewish names. All of those names are Gentile names. None of those people had come from Judea or even from Antioch. All of them were from places where Paul had gone to preach, or where Paul intended to go, or where he'd met others from those places. Towards the end of the third missionary journey, there's another passage. We see it in Acts chapter 20, the first few verses of that chapter, where Paul mentions 9 people on his team who are from 5 different places. Think about that. As your church has been involved in missions for how long? 35 years or since the very founding of this church? Do you understand what has gone on many of the fields where you're working? Is that that work is now not carried on by old dudes like Tony Anzalone. It's carried on by the generations of believers in those countries who are now preaching the gospel and discipling people and planting other churches. Brazil now is a powerhouse of sending out missionaries around the world. It's a beautiful thing that God is doing in this day that He's been doing century after century, because all of us are here because of this multiplication of missions movement that started when God opened that door of ministry by all nations. I am completely inflamed, on fire, excited. Think about this. I have a supporting church in New York City. Like you, they've been supporting me for 30 years. When I go to that church, I see 25 different languages spoken by the people who attend that church. That church has different language churches each Sunday and Saturday and throughout the week. But they're also sending out missionaries back to their countries. While I was just at new missionary orientation for an old missionary with a new organization, there was a couple there that have been living in New York City for years, but they're from... Now I can't remember the name of the place where they speak Bengali. Not Pakistan, the other one, Bangladesh. They're from Bangladesh. They're going back to Bangladesh now as missionaries. This is the fellowship of believers that turns into the ministry of all believers of all nations, working towards this final goal. When God opened up that door, He opened up a door of worship from all nations. And that's where we're headed. This isn't the end. This is exciting. This is rejoicing. Seeing those pictures, that's enthusiasm. It builds enthusiasm for us to be faithful, for us to give, for us to pray, for us to go. But the final thing, oh, that we see in Revelation. We see it in Revelation 5. We see it in Revelation 7. And if you would turn to me, I just want to conclude, hopefully by reading well. I forgot to bring my notebook up here, so I've been trying to read the little slides up there. But in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, if you would just take your scriptures, whether it's on the phone or in the Bible, or if you want to read it up here, but would you read this aloud with me? Would you read it out loud and let's unite our voices in reading this verse? It says, "After this I beheld, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Let's just keep reading. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." When we get a hold of that, that's the final outcome. God opened a door. God opened a door. In the book of Revelation, those letters to the churches in Revelation chapter 3, they say that the church of Philadelphia is the church of the mission age. We might say, instead of the Church of Philadelphia, Mount Greylock Baptist Church. And I like this. says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. What's the door God has opened for you? What's your role in bringing all the nations to that heavenly throne? What's your part in preaching to all nations, the salvation of all nations, the fellowship of all nations, or the ministry of all nations? All of us are involved. It's the great work that God is doing through this church and His church around the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in this evening, we think about all you do and all you've done. Each one of us have a testimony of how we came to faith in Christ, just like I can tell my story of that Noah's Ark sermon. And when we think about that, we consider that around the world, everywhere where the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit calls people to faith. He opens that door of faith. And in opening the door to faith, all the other plans and projects that you have begin to come to pass. Things that you've seen from before the foundation of the world, eternity to eternity, and things that you've described that will happen because of Jesus, our Savior, who gave himself on the cross and rose from the dead. We honor him, we worship him, we praise the Lamb that was slain. How great you are, God. And how we long to join that heavenly throng, that heavenly chorus, saying, worthy is the Lamb. Salvation and honor, glory and power belong to our God. Amen. Thank you.